Hey guys, before we get started with the podcast, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our sponsors, a company that is very close to my heart, W&R Studios. They have recently launched a brand new website, cloudagentsuite.com. The Cloud Agent Suite includes the industry's most popular and award-winning product line, including Cloud CMA, Cloud Streams, Cloud MLX, and Cloud Attract. I'm sure the listeners of this podcast know better than anyone. Agents deserve better software. So check out cloudagentsuite.com and try all their products free for 30 days. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the Industry Relations Podcast, please drop me a line at gregrobertson@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and now on with the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to yet another episode of Industry Relations with Rob and Greg. And this is a special one because we are actually live on site in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Clarity MLS Executives event. So he can actually say hola to me in person. Hi, Greg.
Hola, Rob.
All right. It's so much better when we're actually face-to-face doing that.
You know? Yeah, I could now see in your eyes if you're bullshitting me now.
So, yeah, no, this is great. It's a rare opportunity, and when we actually get to be, you know, physically together, and when California implodes, you know, hopefully you'll think about moving to, say, South Carolina. We'll make an exception in your case and let you in.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
We could do this together, you know, all the time.
Well, I'm sure they've increased the Asian population there now by...
Like 22%. But anyway, so you've been busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, you have been busy as well, right?
I have. And you know, we do apologize to the listeners. You know, we try to do this on a regular basis, but boy, you know, it's just, you know, Greg's out there changing the world and I'm out there just agitating the hell out of it, trying to change the world. So, you know.
No, I think just walking actually from the hallway to here, that's all I heard was like, when is the next podcast coming?
Right.
So that's good. That's
right. So yeah, this will be the one of them, and we'll try and get our thoughts on tape and to you guys. And we've got some big things going on.
Oh, yeah. No,
we've got some big things going on.
So far, today's the first day of March, right? So
that's right.
Already some big things here in just the first couple months of the year.
That's right.
I'll throw it out there. I mean, I think the first thing to talk about is Bob Goldberg and two things, really, the decision to scuttle AMP.
That's right.
And then also the very aggressive moves they made to MLSs that weren't complying to the RISO, RESO standard, Web API standard, and the letters that were sent out, I'm told, about 100 or 90 MLSs that if they don't do that, they're going to lose their E&O insurance.
Right. So since you're the big Bob Goldberg fan, what's your take on it?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, some naysayers, I'm not going to mention any names, but Rob Hahn does come to my head, thought that Mr. Goldberg wouldn't be an agent to change, a change agent. Mm-hmm. And it would be more of a status quo and not going to be basically making the decisions he needs to make. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a very bold decision to do this on both things.
Right.
Obviously, I've always said in this podcast, to me, I look at RPR as three different things. They have their core product, which is this reporting data kind of application. They have the AMP. Mm-hmm. And then they're also a vendor to upstream, right? I think if you look at those three initiatives within the RPR sphere, I think AMP was probably the easiest to kind of scuttle because they hadn't launched yet. And, you know, I'd heard scuttle, but also that it really didn't fit into the narrative of like this consolidation narrative is going along because AMP could really power, you know, some of these smaller associations with a back end and new front ends. From a business level for Greg Robertson, I always thought the AMP initiative was kind of very clever because I had made a bet on the front end. I would need as many back ends as possible. So I'm a little bit mixed on that because of the three things they did. That's the one thing I thought, okay, there's something smart here because they aligned with my strategic goals.
Okay.
Right. Where, you know, them as a vendor for upstream, to me, upstream's been DOA for a long time. Why they keep that going along. And then of course their core product, you know, there's debate about usage and things like that, but I don't know if he could spend the political capital in getting that done, right?
Okay. So let me just make sure I'm hearing you correctly on this one.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
Look, I mean, because I was the wrong guy, so I feel like I need to defend myself just a little bit.
Seven months in office. Boom.
First of all, I mean, I'll grant you, like, he's made some changes and they are, you know, seen as bold. But to be clear, what we are talking about is... he cut one product line out of three. Now, he did cut the overall budget of RPR by like 20% across the board. But a big chunk of that is get rid of AMP. And to your point, it's the most easily sacrificed of the three, right? He didn't get rid of RPR. He didn't get rid of upstream, he just got rid of this one little thing that actually hadn't launched yet.
And he didn't do nothing,
I'm just pointing out the bold move was cut AMP. And the other bold move you mentioned was enforce the RISO standard.
Absolutely,
thing.
Okay,
so he's finally gotten around to enforcing what NAR said that they were going to do years ago. I mean, like
instead
2 years
of doing
ago?
Nothing, he is agreed. Doing something
agreed.
Now.
Agreed. So I suppose if our standard of change agent and, you know...
This is the first 7 months. We're only talking he's been in office 7 months.
Granted, within 7 months, he managed to say we're going to enforce. He hasn't yet done it. We're going to enforce, right?
Well, they've sent a letter saying if you don't do this by this time, we're going to revoke this. So, I mean...
Right. So, okay. So the bold thing he's done, he sent a letter.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's cut AMP, the smallest, least significant of the overall RPR piece. I just want to make sure I understand.
Well, I don't know if it's the least significant. It's just, I think, again, they haven't
launched. You said it was.
Well, they haven't launched yet, right?
Okay, so between upstream AMP and RPR itself, which is the least significant in your judgment?
What are you, like, we can use whatever words you want to use, Rob. I'm not afraid of words.
So, I mean, look, I'm not saying Bob hasn't done a great job. In fact, the matter is, you know, he's made a couple of staffing changes that are
That's true. That
and I wrote done, about
I
that.
Forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
A lot of reorg as far as the structure that NAR has built as well.
Well, let's calm down a little bit. It's not a lot of reorg. It's two positions. It's not a tremendous amount. And by that, what I mean is this. It feels like a tremendous amount in the organized real estate association MLS world, as you and I have talked about, where like 15 MLSs will consolidate and nobody loses a job. So yeah, from that perspective, what Bob's done is, oh my God, you know, it's a new era. I'm saying, look at what Ryan Schneider did at Realogy. The minute he took office, not 7 months later, not 90 days later, like within, I think it was within like 2 weeks of taking office, 3 weeks of taking office, he just laid off hundreds of people. Huge changes.
You're talking about association mm-hmm. versus a publicly held company.
That's right.
That's not even Apple Orange. That's Apple Moon.
That's fine. That's fine. My point, though, is, in other words, if you want to say, look, Bob Goldberg's, you know, 7 months as this big change agent, we're going to hold him to the bar of the association world, I completely agree with you. On that bar, he's a revolutionary.
Right. No, absolutely.
Unfortunately, that bar ain't getting, I mean, come on. Really? Come on.
Well, he's an association. They're an association,
agreed.
Aren't they?
Agreed. Okay. But when he was running for office, I said, look, I had nothing against Bob. I mean, he's a wonderful guy. He's very capable. All of those things are true. But, you know, the other alternative could have been Alex Perillo, right, who comes out of the corporate world. And I said, look, maybe what is necessary is not another association guy, another someone, you know, who's spent 20, 30 years in the association world to bring this new type of discipline. I mean, just think about it. What if the two were reversed? What if Ryan Schneider was the new NAR CEO? Right. Now, granted, he would be fired because, you know, he couldn't make the changes that he's done over at Realogy. But I'm just saying, like, look at the scope of change between the two organizations. Right. Because they're both very big. They're both leaders, you know, kind of in their space. You know, certainly NAR is the leader in the association space. And I don't mean just real estate, like associations overall. NAR is bigger than NRA. It's bigger than AARP. I mean, it's huge. And then you have Realogy, which is gigantic. And look at what Schneider is doing. I'm saying, like, that's something to keep in mind. And that's something to keep in mind as we go forward. Meaning, if it took Bob 7 months of convincing, cajoling, coming up with the committee reports and the meetings and the analysis and all these things to convince NAR that they should cut one small product, I mean, what's it going to take for him to do something really big?
It's early. I mean, we'll see what right. happens. I don't know of any grand plan. Maybe this is the first steps of these have to happen before that happens.
Right.
I mean, it's still right. early. Who knows, right?
So in essence, I guess what I'm saying is I agree with you. I was wrong. Bob has indeed made some bold moves. I'm just pointing out that the bar is awfully low, right, when it comes to association side. You know this. You're an entrepreneur.
I
if
totally
you
agree
take
with you.
7 months to make a decision.
I totally agree with you.
You're dead, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the overall point. Now, is he going to end up doing a fantastic job? I think he's already done a pretty amazing job. There's just based on one thing alone, right? Which is the Trump tax plan. Dude, I thought MID was dead.
Right.
I thought it was dead as a right. doornail. I thought it was dead. I thought things like the SALT, the state and local tax,
right.
I thought it was dead. Somehow,
last minute,
when the dust settles NAR gets like 80, 90% of what it wants. And that happened on Bob's watch, yeah. right? So look, you got to give credit to the government affairs people, you know, over there, but it happened on Bob's watch. I mean, you got to give them credit for that.
They definitely no missed doubt. A bullet there for sure.
No doubt. So, you know, and like I said, like right after he was named, then I realized what the culture shift over at NAR. It's huge.
Yeah.
So I think...
I think, again, the culture thing to me is almost one of the bigger things as well.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think it is. But it is saying, look how slowly, you know, the association world moves. Yeah. I mean, if that's bold, right? So it's not just Bob, right? So this isn't about Bob. This is about just the association and MLS world in general. And let's face it, we're at a conference with a bunch of MLS execs. And I know we're going to hear stuff coming on stage saying we need to be nimble, we need to be faster, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to whatever. And I'm going, look, that's cool. It's awesome that you guys are thinking that way. But let's have some expectations here. By whose measuring stick? If you're going to be nimble by the business measuring stick, y'all have a long way to go. And probably you can't get there without wholesale changes in your governance model. In other words, Bob as CEO of NAR does not have anywhere near the power that a Ryan Schneider as CEO of Village has.
That's absolutely correct.
And that's just a reality. That has nothing to do with the individuals. It has nothing to do with their capability. It's just that's how the system that they've built. So for an MLS CEO, for an association CEO, they could be like, you know, I know exactly what needs to happen. It needs to happen in the next year. Like, you know, let's calm down. I mean, it's the association world we're talking about. And that, I think, should then dictate to some extent what type of things the association and the MLS world take on. Do you know what I mean?
And I, you know, talking to some of the smarter MLS execs, especially when they're association known, they have to really think long term, like, okay, it's not going to happen with this president.
Right.
And it's not going to happen with the next president. So I have to like nurture, I know I can make these happen with this person. So they have to think 3 years in advance. Okay, when I get this president, right. I'm going to be able to make these changes. It's amazing how thought and process that has to take to get these consensus to make these things happen.
Right.
I can't measure them against anything else.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Within that world. Okay, right. So let me ask you this. Since you were right about prognosticating, you know, about the elevation of Goldberg, what do you think he does with RPR? And by when?
Right, so...
Because, you know, he slashed 20% just across
the board. Well, hold, but here it is. That hasn't really happened yet.
Okay.
Right? So what I'm curious to see is, you can't slash 20% of any organization without cutting staff.
Right.
So I'm very curious to see what type of staff cuts are made there.
Right.
And who are those part of that staff cuts, right? That's one thing. And I guess some of their staff is like a lot of tech companies that, you know, there was famously an article in Inman about how they have some... not offshore, but, you know, they contract some developers and things like that.
Right,
so some of the costs, maybe it's not going to be so bad on their own staff, but some of those
contractors
get cut.
Right.
To me, the upstream thing is still a conundrum, right? So from what I hear, there's a lot of animosity on both sides of that, which you can imagine with a huge project like that.
Right.
There's probably a lot of finger pointing on why this is not done or that is not done. They haven't really released anything yet.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the release say that as of next year, the brokers, like they have to fund it? Like NAR's not going to fund it?
2019,
yeah, right? So NAR's out of that game
right.
in 2019.
But the other kind of nuance here, and this goes back to the standard stuff, is that in order for, I think, upstream to really work, everybody's got to be standardized with the data dictionary and also some sort of API kind of method, right, of communicating. And they've told the MLSs they have until 2020 to do that.
Oh,
right. So that's from my understanding. And if I'm wrong,
right,
you know, somebody can comment here off the podcast.
Right.
You might not be able to work with all the MLSs they want to because they've got until 2020 to do that. So that's a whole year of writing checks. To me, if it really goes to the point where they have to start writing checks, I don't see them going 2 months and go, can't the MLS do this? Right? And we're back to this, right? I
don't
could
know.
Be wrong.
Depends on whether Gary Keller's willing to write some of his $1 billion that he has pledged to spend.
So I own a software company. I know at a level I've had some experience as far as these kind of problems with business rules and the vendors and everything else. And it's not an easy problem. It's a very difficult problem, no matter what anybody says, right?
What makes it so difficult?
Well, you have to get cooperation from the MLS vendors who have already been nickel-dimed to death, right? You want to say to them, hey, you have to do this, this, and that. And they say, okay, that's great. We've got a long list of other things to do here. You want to prioritize that. Okay, that's $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait, what?
Right.
You guys are part of the industry. You work for us. We want to move this industry forward, blah, blah. No, baby.
Right.
You know, you want to put this on the top of the list. Money talks, bullshit walks.
Mm-hmm.
right? So just getting those players, not that they're like...
So they're not dragging their feet.
Not that they're dragging their feet. It's like, hey, things cost money. Right. I mean, you know, a lot of these MLS vendors, because they've been so nickel and dime down to the hardcore, these, you know, as I think the vendors rightly call them, these unfunded mandates that come down their line.
Which I talked about at the CMLS, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
I said, look, I mean, it's... These guys have crappy UI because you nickel and dime them to death, and they would love to go and hire.
Yeah, they don't have UI, you know, people. They don't have like a lot of, you know.
No.
So it's being uncooperative is such an unfair thing when there's a lot of work to be done on that point, right? Then you have the just the mechanics of that, and then the own API that takes myriad of business rules from across. So if you fill out bedrooms and baths, you can't call it a core. I mean, just all the rules that are so different everywhere else, and getting that in some sort of a way that other software can communicate with that. All the politics that are in there. It's just a mess. It's a big, big problem that I don't see really solved this year at all.
So this is why.
And then you hear, if you don't have a good relationship with your vendor, right? And again, no blaming, right? You know, there's probably 1,000 things that the upstream people could have done better. There's probably 1,000 things that, you know, our PR could have done better, right? There's no, it's just a project. Things happen. But if you're not in sync on something like this, holy mackerel.
Right.
By an order of magnitude, this makes this project more difficult, right? That's what I'm hearing, that they're going to show anything that's going to be really earth-shattering. And then they got to get, so let's say they get the technology done. Now they got to convince all the small and medium brokers, because I really think this is just a war between the big brokers and the small brokers. But, you know, that's another topic.
Right.
Then they got to get them to convince them, like, why you need to do this.
Right.
Some guy, you know, has 10 agents in his office. Your data is so important. You need to put it on there. The MLS is evil. Huh? That's a lot of convincing to do, right?
Here's why I'm bringing this up. I know for a fact you and I will need to do an episode on this somewhere later this year. You know the DOJ and the FTC is holding workshops.
Right.
And we know.
Have they been holding workshops?
No, they're going to start.
They're going to start.
I believe sometime in April is the first one. I don't have the exact date.
So you're saying they're holding workshops.
They're holding
workshops,
right.
They haven't yet.
They haven't yet, as far as I know. I mean, you know.
So the statement is they're going to start to hold workshops. Okay.
As far as I know. I mean, for all I know, that workshop is happening like right now in DC somewhere, for all I know. I don't work for the DOJ. Right. I don't work for FTC. I'm just saying, and we know they're going to look at real estate data, right? Because of the papers that are written and Congress people have written letters to those guys. I guess the question is, speaking of unfunded mandates, if things are so complex within the industry, as much as I hate to say this, because Greg, you know me, I'm a Tea Party, live free or die Republican. You know, government is, you know, it's an evil, but it's a necessary evil kind of guy. Even I have to go, wouldn't that solve that problem? Do you know what I'm saying? Like from a software development, from all this complexity and business rules, if the DOJ FTC came out and said, hey, here you go. Here's a national real estate data business rule set. You don't like it? Go pound sand. This is the way it's going to be. Doesn't that actually solve that problem?
Well, you know, like there's things about a dictatorship that work.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you have just one guy, one entity says this is the way it is, and they have the power to throw you in jail.
Right.
Right? No, that shit works. Sure.
Now, here's the thing. The only thing that stands in the way of the DOJ and FTC doing that is NAR. In other words, if Bob Goldberg and NAR said, you know what? We're going to stand aside on this one. We're not going to go fight this. Let the FTC come up with a national data rules package. Well, let them do that.
Right.
It would happen.
I think it's a little bit, you're being narrow there, right? There are more interests than just the NAR, right? So there'd be interest of Warren Buffett.
Why would Warren Buffett
oppose that? Because he owns Berkshire Hathaway.
No, I know, but...
Hold on. So if that's going to affect his business in a negative way, if he looks at that saying, having the government come in here is going to affect me negatively, no matter how fucked up things are now,
right?
He's going to have something to say. Ryan, Realogy, big company, Wall Street, all that, if he thinks that that type of method is going to have, if that's going to cause problems for his business, and he's not going to wait for NAR to defend him.
Right.
He's going to be in that. So there's a lot of other players out there.
Agreed.
Than just like NAR is the only one that's like got their finger in the goddamn dike. I mean, that's not a good analogy.
Dude, but here's the thing, man. I mean, going back to Bob's great accomplishment earlier this year, right? You know, and I know, Realogy and Warren Buffett, you know, they went to DC and they lobbied. Like, it wasn't like that wasn't going to save that. That's the power of NAR saving MID. That's the power of NAR saving, you know, all of those things. So I'm just saying, like, someone like a Buffett or Realogy, they're national companies, right? For them, having the MLSs be subject to one federal national data set makes their lives infinitely easier. I mean, think about who's behind Upstream. It's Warren Buffett's home services, right? They're not going to oppose it. I don't know what other interests there might be, but I'm just saying, when you think about it, the only force that could stop something like the FTC doing that is NAR. And if NAR is now taking the stance of, hey, MLSs, you have whatever until June or July to comply with RESO standards or else, maybe the fastest way they get that done is to take the RESO standards, walk it over to the FTC, and you go, here you go. Is that crazy?
You do this all the time, man. I understand the way you work, your head works now. It's been a while, but I figured
it out. It's probably crazy. Okay. No, I get it.
No. Your method of arguing always is like, you go extremes. Like, the extreme you always go to, it's the fucking government's the boogeyman, right? This is like, if this happens, Greg, or whatever you write or whatever, hey, the government could step in. That's your way. And it's a good device, right? It's a good device.
It's like, a great boogeyman because they are a boogeyman.
It's a good device to go all the way to this side. And then, you know, what you have to have is a counter that goes all the way to this side,
sure.
Right?
So total chaos.
The problem that I have with your argument there, which you make all the time, is that it's just a crazy way of the side of the argument, right? I don't think you can always go to that. That's your go-to, is the boogeyman of the government is going to take over control, to really talk about the nuances of what's going to happen there. And I'm trying to think of, like, AT&T was a monopoly. Mm-hmm. They broke it up, right. Air traffic controllers, right? Or right. They broke that up.
Not really. They de-unionized.
De-unionized them.
Fired them, yeah. That was Reagan, though.
Yeah. So how does
it work? We don't have to go look that far back in history. Obamacare comes out and tells health insurance companies, here's what you have to offer, right? National rule. Bingo. Done. Doesn't matter if you're in South Carolina or California or Texas. If you are a health insurance company, this is what you will offer. Now, obviously,
there's a base level of what you offer.
Right.
And, you know,
they told you this is how it's going
to
be. You know.
Okay. So now you're equating healthcare to real estate.
Data. No, I'm talking about
I mean,
it has to be a pretty big thing
to happen, right?
I'm just talking about like a national standard, right? And you're right. Look, maybe it is crazy. I'm just raising it as something to think about, because that thing is going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We know NAR is going to be present at that workshop.
Yeah. I'll give you this. I think that there could be things where the government, as they've done in the past, with the DOJ, with the online brokerages, could step in for competition purposes.
Right.
But they're not about, like, we're going to pick this technology standard and make everybody do it. They don't have that expertise to kind of do that, right? I think they would come up in more ways of, like, they would look at more things of, like, anti-competition than, than like, really go down to the point, oh, it all has to do with standards. I just don't connect those dots.
I don't know. And they listen to this podcast.
Right, yeah.
It's possible, man. Yeah, it's fine. Right. Hi, FTC. Hi, DOJ. When they're listening to this podcast and they hear a prominent CEO of a fast-growing, prominent software vendor say, look, life is really difficult because there's all these crazy business rules across all these different markets and all this politics.
I'm sure every market has these same problems.
Right.
I'm sure the guy that's selling, you know, shoe soles to, you know, whatever's like, I wish every foot was the same.
You know what? Let's do a quick real world play. Okay. You're Greg Robertson, CEO, right? WNR Studio. Mm-hmm. You just laid out all these problems you have as a developer. I'm FTC commissioner. And I say, Greg, you know what? We decided we're just going to adopt the RESO standard and make it law. What's your take on that? Doesn't that make your life easier to develop software? Doesn't it make your life easier to innovate?
To be brutally honest, yeah. It makes my life harder.
Okay, well, tell me why.
Everything I built now works great with RETS. There's some little things you have to worry about and you kind of modify against, but it works great. We've got, you know, 330 MLSs, all syncing data, doing cloud CMA, all our products are working great. Every now and then there's a hiccup, but we figured out, we have done it, right?
Okay.
So now you're telling me I have to like redo all those into this new thing? That's a big pain in the ass.
It's not a new thing. It's RESO.
Well, it's a new thing. We're not doing that right standard. Now. We're using the RET standard. Now we'd have to do this new standard.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
So we'd have to completely revamp all the things we're doing. This is like what a lot of existing vendors are like, bitch.
Right.
Like, you say RETs is so bad, but we figured it out. It's working fine here.
Right.
Right. Now, here's where it does hurt, right?
Okay.
I'll even peek you a little bit more into the veil.
Yeah.
Is by doing that, we have a moat.
Okay, right. That's right.
So for us, that's a moat. Right now, it's a barrier to entry for new entrants to come in and compete against me because it's a pain in the ass to do it right now.
That's right.
Let's look the other side, right? This new standard makes it much easier for
new startups.
vendors to come into the market and then build apps and do those things and all that kind of stuff. So for the new guy, I absolutely 100% agree with you, right? But there's also problems there. I don't want to get on this rant again. But even if we get the standards right, the permissioning is all fucked up anyway. Mm-hmm. So I could get my app up and running technically in 2 days, but it would take me 9 months to get the MLS to give me permission to sell it in their market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another rant I go in a lot of that. Mm-hmm. That still needs to be solved. Yeah. But yeah.
All right. Look, we started off talking Bob Goldberg and, you know, who was right, who was wrong, change agent or not. And we actually ended up at a useful place where we talk about real policy stuff.
No. I mean
that's what we do up in here.
Yeah.
That is what we do.
If let me tell you what I think about every day. I would love to be the guy that's either part of or solves this is exactly the last thing we talked about, is somehow marrying the fact that you have a standard in real estate data along with the permission to sell, right? Marilyn from WaveGrip has written about this. Others have talked about it. But this kind of like TSA pre,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you are a vendor, you've been vetted, you've right. passed the test, you right. have a code of ethics. Right. Who knows, right?
Right.
You're saying that Dominus Omanus,
right.
this is a valid vendor who's part of the community.
You're trusted,
right? So now when you go into a market and you implement that standard, that also means you have permission to sell right then,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we could come up with, if it's Rezo that is the person that does that, is it CMLS? Is it NAR? Is it some third-party entity that we come up with? All the MLSs say—
Or is it the government?
Oh, here we go again.
No, seriously.
Yeah, the government is not going to manage vendors for the real estate space.
But think about what you just said. It's just we just need a permissioning system with trust. Right. Is that not an appropriate role, actually?
I just don't think they'll get that granular with us, right? We have to figure this out ourselves, right? So I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if there's any anti-competition thing by Rezo or CMLS handling it. Is it anti-competition for somebody to build it on their own? But to marry those things, yeah. to get it technically easier to build something and permission to put it out there, that to me is like the holy grail right now.
Mm.
Because at one point we're going to have standards and they're still not going to help things out. So that's what, in my mind, I would love to be part of solving that problem.
And I would love to see you solve that problem. I would love to see us all solve that problem one day. And this seems like a pretty decent place to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I've learned something
good
on this podcast. You know, we should get together in person more often.
No,
and hopefully
great.
Our audience didn't find that entirely boring, because I know we got a little bit into the weeds there. But look, hey,
I'm happy that this DeVry graduate right. can help a Yale graduate understand things a little more clear.
We often have to rely upon trade school graduates to help us understand, you know, how our air conditioners work.
That's, you know, I have friends that got air conditioning jobs out of college, so fuck you, Rob Hahn.
And you know what? They probably make more money than either of us put together, because, hey, man, like Mike Rowe says, you know, that the trades are where it's at.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, I think it's cool, because if you don't know some of the intricate details of, like, stuff you and I live with in this whole MLS data space, like, this is a little bit of a peek as to what the issues are, why yeah. it's such a hot issue. So I think this is cool.
Or maybe NAR takes this role.
Maybe,
sure.
Maybe. Why don't you send us off, because you had to give you the last word, since you were correct about Bob Goldberg.
So far, it's been only now, I guess, 8 months or whatever, but we'll see. I think it's a good start, and we'll see what the future brings here.
Yep.
Again, to me, and maybe this will be a good segue when we talk our next podcast,
mm-hmm.
culture matters.
Oh, yes.
And I think it's something that you have to kind of covet. Mm. And you have to nurture, because when you lose that culture, or that culture is a bad things happen.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rob.
Hey, thank you, Grant. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right.